Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, July the 28th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have been given another day to continue our study of your word. We thank you for all that you have taught us before, and today we look forward to expanding that knowledge and understanding so that we might walk according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we've reached the seventh chapter of the book of Daniel, and we begin at verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised itself up on one side. And it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld and another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth, it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld to the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, breaking in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before him 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. The SDA Bible Commentary in Volume 4, beginning at page 1171, paragraph 5, says the following. To Daniel was given a vision of fierce beasts representing the powers of the earth. But the ensign of the Messiah's kingdom is a lamb. While earthly kingdoms rule by the ascendancy of physical power, Christ is to banish every carnal weapon, every instrument of coercion. His kingdom was to be established to uplift and ennoble fallen humanity. There is an unerring register kept of all sins committed. All men's impiety, all his disobedience to heaven's commands, are written in the books of heaven with unerring accuracy. The figures of guilt rapidly accumulate, yet the judgments of God are tempered with mercy until the figures have reached their appointed limit. God bears long with the transgression of human beings and continues through his appointed agencies to present the gospel message until the set time has come. God bears with divine patience with the perversity of the wicked, but he declares that he will visit his transgressions with a rod. He will at last permit the destructive agencies of Satan to bear sway to destroy. Accurately recorded in the books of heaven are the snares and trivial remarks made by sinners who pay no heed to the call of mercy when Christ is represented to them by a servant of God. As the artist takes on the polished glass a true picture of human face, so God daily places upon the books of heaven an exact representation of the character of every individual. The Lord has clearly defined the road to the city of God, but the great apostate has changed the signpost, setting up a false one, a spurious Sabbath. He says, I will work at cross purposes with God. I will empower my delegate, the man of sin, to take down God's memorial, the seventh day Sabbath. Thus will I show the world that the day sanctified and blessed by God hath been changed. That day shall not live in the minds of the people. I will obliterate the memory of it. I will place in its stead a day bearing not the credentials of heaven, a day that cannot be a sign between God and his people. I will lead the people who accept this day to place upon it the sanctuary that God placed upon the seventh day. Through my vice-regent I will exalt myself, says Satan. The first day shall be extolled, and the Protestant world shall receive the spurious Sabbath as genuine. Through the non-observance of the Sabbath God instituted, I will bring his law into contempt. The words, a sign between me and you throughout your generations, I will make to serve on the side of my Sabbath, says Satan. Thus the world will become mine. I will be ruler of the earth, prince of the world. I will so control the minds under my power that God's Sabbath shall be an object of contempt. A sign? I will make the observance of the seventh day a sign of disloyalty to the authorities of earth. Human laws shall be made so stringent that men and women will not dare to observe the seventh day Sabbath. For fear of wanting food and clothes, they will join with the world in transgressing God's law, and the earth will be wholly under my dominion. The man of sin has instituted a false Sabbath, and the professed Christian world has adopted this child of the papacy, refusing to obey God. Thus, Satan leads men and women in a direction opposite to the city of refuge, and by the multitudes who follow him, it is demonstrated that Adam and Eve are not the only ones who have accepted the words of the wily foe. The enemy of all good has turned the signpost round so that it points to the path of disobedience as the path of happiness. He has insulted Jehovah by refusing to obey a thus saith the Lord. He has thought to change times and laws. But has he done this? The words in the 31st chapter of Exodus answer this question. With his own finger, the Lord wrote the commandments on the tables of stone. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the 7th day he rested and was refreshed. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. The Creator has plainly stated that after creating the world, he rested on the 7th day, sanctifying and blessed this day as a memorial of creation, and giving it to his people as a rest day. That ye may know, he says, that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Thus he desires to test their loyalty. Shall we set aside the divine command, given in such a positive manner and language, and follow the path of the transgressor, who will venture to change the signpost, so that it will point the wrong way, vindicating the man of sin? It is a terrible thing to place a human institution where the Lord's great memorial should be. It is a terrible thing for men to aggregate to themselves the power to set aside the day that God has sanctified and blessed, declaring it to be his holy day, and put in its place a common working day, to try to compel men to respect and reverence this day. The Lord's word is truth. It is so plain that we cannot mistake its meaning. It is not evident that people need. It is not evidence that people need, for they have this. But they do not desire to walk in the way of the Lord's commandments. The world is walking contrary to the divine will. But God has a people on this earth, and between him and them the Sabbath is a sign, whereby they know that he is the Lord that sanctifies them. Upon them his mark is placed. They that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. They shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. It is obedience to the word of God that brings men into close relationship with Christ. Today he is saying, as he said to the Jewish people, O that thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. And soon will be heard the irrevocable sentence, but now they are hid from thine eyes. He said again as he wept over the devoted city, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. It was not that the Jewish people could not receive Christ. They would not. Thus it will be with many in our day. So what day does the Lord require of us? The observance of his Sabbath as a perpetual covenant. God wishes every family to bear this sign. Thus we may know that we are loyal and true to his commandments. Look at our world, full of disrespect for God, in open rebellion against him, who in a moment could destroy every soul that breathes the breath of life. What has made the world so full of violence? A disregard of God's law. This was what filled the earth with rebellion and corruption in the days before the flood. See the regard shown today of the spurious Sabbath. And those who make laws to guard this false rest day make laws also which legalize the liquor traffic, a curse that is brutalizing the beings made in the image of God by taking away their reason. Knowing full well the sure result, man takes the wages of his fellow man, giving him in return poison that destroys his reason, and sends him from the saloon full of false ideas. He has sold his reason for liquor and is led into all kinds of violence. Satan presents before his mind things that, though unreal, seem real to him. He is filled with the determination to kill the one who, he supposes, stands in his way. Terrible crime and sometimes murder is the result. Yet notwithstanding its fearful effects, the liquor curse is protected by law. Why do not those who make laws abolish this debasing traffic? Because they do not bear God's sign. They do not keep his commandments. Therefore they tolerate that which is making the world a second Sodom, as it was in the days of Noah, when the wickedness of man was so great that God swept from the face of the earth every living thing save that which found refuge in the ark. So also shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. Man's theories are exalted, honored, and placed where God and his law should be. But God has not altered the things that has gone out of his lips. His word will stand fast forever, unaltered as his throne. When every case is decided in the courts of heaven, this covenant will be brought forth, plainly written with the finger of God. The world will be arraigned before the bar of infinite justice to receive sentence, a life measuring with the life of God for obedience and death for transgression. Each person must obtain an experience for himself. No one can depend for salvation on the experience of practice of any other man. We must each become acquainted with Christ in order to properly represent him to the world. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. None of us need to excuse our hasty temper or misshapen characters or selfishness, envy, jealousy, or any impurity of soul, body, or spirit. God has called us to glory and virtue. We are to obey that call, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How can we escape the power of one who was once an exalted angel in the heavenly courts? He was a being full of beauty and personal charm, blessed with a powerful intellect. Because of his exaltation, he thought himself equal with God. He rebelled against his Creator, and by his rebellion he led astray some of the heavenly angels. With these he was cast out of heaven, and then he set up a kingdom of his own, determined that he would allure the world to his apostate banner. How can we discern his false theories and resist his temptations? Only through the individual experience gained by receiving a knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. Without divine aid, we could not possibly escape the temptations and snares that Satan has prepared to deceive human minds. Christ says to us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We are ever to learn of Christ, yoked up with him in perfect restraint. We are to be learners during our whole lifetime. Then we are indeed laborers together with God. We can be acceptable teachers only as we learn Christ's meekness and lowliness. Constantly, we must learn more and more regarding these attributes. As we partake of the divine nature, hereditary and cultivated tendencies to wrong are cut away from the character, and we are made a living power for good. Ever learning of the divine teacher, daily partaking of his nature, we cooperate with God in overcoming Satan's temptations. God works and man works, that man may be one with Christ as Christ is one with God. Then we sit together with Christ in heavenly places. The mind rests with peace and assurance in Jesus. The Savior declares, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In him there is inexhaustible fullness. as we follow on to know the Lord, we shall lead souls to the living word. With us, they will know that his going forth is prepared as the morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to guide us in the path of righteousness. We thank you that you continue to teach us and encourage us to walk according to your will. We are grateful for the opportunity that we have, not just to study your word, but to absorb it and to watch it as it changes our characters, and we become more like you in every detail of our lives. Today we go forward with gratitude in our hearts, knowing that we can trust you implicitly to do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves, so that we might walk according to your will and be a powerful, powerful influence upon the lives of those with whom we come in contact. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, July the 28th, 2019.